Shavua Tov, world. Today's daf in Masechet Yevamot, brought to you from Eretz HaKedesh, is daf Lamed Gimel, and we're right at the top of the daf. And just to remind you where it is that we're holding, we just had this fascinating machlokas, and it started off with a question between Rabbi Yossi and between Rabbi Shimon. And what we had over there was a question of whether you would be chayev for various lavim, even though they were all isurim chal al isurim. So we had Rabbi Shimon saying, you can't be chayev more than one thing. So this was basically the starting text of Isur chal al isur, and we found that there was a contradiction in Rabbi Yossi, because Rabbi Yossi says that the idea is, it depends which one came first, is what he seems to be saying. And it wouldn't seem to matter. We were talking about, remember, a case where someone, let's say, had a mother-in-law, and she went and became an Eishes Ish. And the question is, which came first? Was she married before she became his mother-in-law? Or afterwards, a number of cases like that. And the question was that according to Rabbi Yossi, there was a stira, because on the one hand, Rabbi Yossi was saying that Isser is Chal al Isser, and then in the other case, we had Rabbi Yossi saying that if you have two separate chiyuvim of Misa on the same thing, Rabbi Yossi says, well, you always go according to the one that came first, and not according to the one that is more chamur. So that was the starting issue that got us involved, because Rabbi Abohu said that Rabbi Yossi is moda in a case of Isur Mosif, that Isur is Chal al Isur. And let me remind you, because the entire sugya today is going to revolve around this issue, and Isur Mosif is talking about where more people are now Usur because of this Isur than before. So in the event, let's say, that one of the brothers marries a sister, he is the only one that is Usur on the relatives of that sister. Then when his brother marries a sister of that woman, at that point, all of the brothers become usher in that woman because of Eshet Ach. That means that the issue of Eshet Ach is much more inclusive of people. So it's Chal on other brothers. Once it's Chal on other brothers, it's called Amigo. So Amigo the Chal on the other brothers, it's also Chal on him. And Rabbi Yossi, ostensibly, is moda to that din. And that was what we found was the explanation of the contradiction between them. The problem was that it certainly appears that he only is moda about an Isser Mosif, and he was not moda on an Isser Kolel. And an Isser Kolel is where more objects, they could be people, of course, but more objects are included in the original Isser, but not more people. So that in the opposite case, where all of the brothers were Usser, and then one of the brother goes ahead and marries the sister, now that brother becomes Usser on all 10 sisters, let's say. She has a lot of sisters, right? So that brother is Usser now on all the other sisters. But that question is, that doesn't include more people. It includes more objects. So before, there was an Isser on the brother's wife because of the Eshet Ach. Would we say that there's also a new Isser on the brother's wife because of Achot Isha, even though it came afterwards, since Achot Isha is now is also Kolel, more women? That we wouldn't say. That's what we had gotten up to yesterday. Today, we are trying to prove whether it's possible that Rabbi Yossi does agree to Kolel, and we'll see today that the Gemara attempts to say that this is a machloket. But in order to get to the Gemara today, we need to remember the three fascinating cases that were brought up, and it was very strange. In each one of these cases, they all seem very similar. In each one of these cases, we had two different approaches as to what it was that Rebbe had said. There was Bar Kapora and there was Rebbe Chia. And in each one of these cases, Rebbe Chia said, I swear, he gets up and he jumps up and he makes a shvua. He says, I swear, I swear by the Avodah that Rebbe taught me your chayev on both. And Bar Kapara jumps up and he says, I swear Rebbe taught me that you're only chayev on one. So we're going to have to get to the bottom of this because it's very strange that two people should swear the opposite. I mean, there's got to be an explanation for what one was thinking, what the other one was thinking. Obviously, there's no iser of a shvua shav or anything like that, because a shvua and a neder always goes according to what the person thinks. And therefore, if he made a mistake, he made a mistake. But he could certainly swear to something that he is sure that that's what happened. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam shehakol nehiyah bedvaro. Now, here were the three cases, and it's important to note that they seem very similar, but in that fact, we're going to find out that they're not as similar as they seem to be on the surface, and it was the similarity that actually caused a bit of confusion in this machlokas between Bar Kapora and Rebbe Chiya. And if the Rebbe would turn off the strong light that's behind his face, I might be able to look at the screen, and I might even be able to see the Rebbe. Thank you. Okay, so here were the three cases. One is a czar who's not allowed to do the avodah in the Beis HaMikdash, and he goes ahead and he does the avodah of the korbanos that are mutter to do on Shabbos, and he does them on Shabbos. So Rebbe Chiya says, well, he's chayav of two separate things, one for zarut and one for Shabbos. Bar Kapara says, no, he's not. He's only chayav on one of these things because there's no issur Shabbos on doing the Aveda in the Beis HaMikdash. The next thing that they were arguing on, and each one swears that no, that Rebbe taught them exactly the way I believe, and therefore I'm absolutely right. I heard Shtayim, says Rebbe Chiya. Rebbe Bar Kapara says, I heard one. Then we have the next case. The next case is that there's a Balmum. Now, this Balmum ends up doing Aveda in the Beis HaMikdash, Bituma, but it's very similar to the previous case because it's talking about when the Tuma was Mutter. When is that? When you have Rov of the Tzibur being Tameh. So it basically sounds like exactly the same case. This person who is a Balmum is not allowed to be doing Aveda at all. And then he goes ahead and he does the Aveda. And not only that, but he does it betuma. So again, Rebbe Chiya says, you're chayav two things. You're chayav for Balmum, who was Eved, and you're chayav for doing Aveda betuma. Once again, Rebbe Chiya swears, that's what I heard from Rebbe, you're chayav twice. And Bar Kapara jumps up and says, no, you're only chayav on one. And the third case was that we have a czar who goes ahead and eats a korban, which was an oath. So in that case, to a czar, Malika is considered to be a nevela. And he's also being over the iser of eating kachim, which he's not allowed to eat. This is all kachim. We're talking about a korban chatas ha'of, which is only allowed to be eaten by kayanim. So is he chayev on one iser? Or is he chayav on two? Rebbe Chiya says, absolutely he's chayav on both Isurim. Bar Kapara says, absolutely not. Each one swears what it was that Rebbe told him. And the idea over here is that when it turns out, according to Bar Kapara, that there was an Isser of Nevela, and there wasn't an Isser Nevela in the Beis HaMikdash, it was only the Isser of Zarut. That's exactly where we got up to. And now we're ready to discuss what the deeper common denominator is in the machlokas of these three cases. So let's start right at the beginning of the daf, but my kamiflage. So what exactly were they arguing about? And this is what we started to say, that it's all beplukta, because we're going to try to show that the only underlying machlokas here between Bar Kapara and Rebbe Chiya is the issue of whether an Isser Kolel is actually, according to Rabbi Yossi, considered to be Isser Chalal Isser. So our first assumption is the Machlokas is all according to the Shita of Rabbi Yossi. Certainly we never discuss the possibility of Rabbi Shimon, who never seemed to say that it's possible to say Isser Chalal Isser, so we ignored that. And the Machlokas was purely whether, according to Rabbi Yossi, would even an Isser Kolel, that's not an Isser Mosif, would it be a Isser Chal al Isser? So Rabbi Chiya, he says you're chayev two. He apparently holds, according to Rabbi Yossi, that an Isser Kolel you're chayev two on. The Gemara is going to go through each of these three cases to show how it could be an Isser Kolel. Whereas Bar Kapora says, no, Rabbi Yossi would only be moda in an Isser Mosif. And therefore, an Isser Kolel, lo mechayev alechot. And that's how it flows directly from our previous sugya. So, my Isser Kolel, can you explain to me what the three cases are of Isser Kolel over here? I think I understand the first two. Let's take the case of the guy who is a non-Kohen. He's a Zar, right? So, at the beginning of the day, so to speak, here it's Friday, and he was allowed to do melacha because it was Friday. And he was usher to do the Aveda in the Beis HaMikdash. Now comes along Shabbos. Aha. Now, because of Shabbos, he is going to be usher in melacha as well. So he should now also become usher in doing the Aveda on Shabbos because he's usher in all melachas, right? But that's an Isser Kolel. More of the issues, the objects, are prohibited. So not only was Aveda prohibited as it was before, but so was cooking a cholent. Not only cooking on the Mizbeach. So now it includes more things, right? It includes all the Lamatas Malachas. Okay, so will more things make the original thing that was usher anyway now also be usher because of Shabbos? Is this clear? That this is Kolel, you see why it's Kolel and not Mosif. If we were talking about an Isser that would have now been Chal on Kohanim, then it would have been an Isser Mosif, if we could have said, and now that it's Shabbos, even Kohanim are Usser to do Aveda. That would have been an Isser Mosif, because more people would have been Usser, not only more objects or more issues would have been Usser. However, it isn't true, because the Kohanim are not usher to do what this guy did on Shabbos, because on Shabbos, you're supposed to bring the Karbanos. So therefore, we're left only with an Isser Kolel. Okay, so that makes perfectly good sense. So if you say that according to Rabbi Yossi, Isser Kolel is also included, we now understand why Rabbi Chiya said, in that case, two Isser Merchal. We now understand why Bar Kapara says no, only an Isser Mosif is included. We understand why he says one. Perfect, simple, straightforward. Let's take the next case. The next case is, we now have the case of the Balmum. So the Balmum was initially mutter to eat kachim. Right? Because a Balmum, remember, a Balmum is allowed to eat kachim. He's just not allowed to do the Aveda. It says so specifically in the Pasuk. So if that's the case, initially he was mutter to eat and he was usher to do Avoda. Now he became Tameh. So now that he becomes Tameh, he's usher in more things because now he's not even allowed to eat. Because if you're Tameh, you're not allowed to eat. He's usher in more things, not more people are usher. That is called an Isser Kolel, not an Isser Mosif. Therefore, comes along Rabbi Chiya, and he says, well, Rabbi Yossi agrees to Isser Kolel, Isser Chal al Isser, and therefore you'd be Chal, there'd be two separate Isserim. Says Bar Kapora, absolutely not. He doesn't agree in Isser Kolel, and therefore there's only the one Isser that was there initially, which is that he was a Balmum. We can't add more things just because now he's not allowed to eat because he became Tomei. Okay, so understand those two cases, right? So migu deka mitzvah b'achila, that's the migu of Isser Kolel, mitzvah nami b'avoda. I don't understand malika. What is that case? How does that have anything to do with Isser Kolel? The issue with the malika is a completely different issue. Malika, yes, you could have a third quality of Isser Kolel. And what is that? Isur Mosif is one, Isur Kolel is the other, and there's a third very common event that will cause Isur to be Chalal Isur, and that's called Isur Bevat Achat. If the two Isurim fall simultaneously, then we also find that many of the Shitas that hold Ein Isur Chalal Isur hold that in this case Isur is Chalal Isur. But, I mean, that's not a machlokas similar to Kolel. because maybe even Rabbi Shimon holds Visrakal Alister in a case of Avat Achat. So this wouldn't really make sense to say that they're arguing about Kolel. Maybe did we ever see that anybody disagrees when it comes to Isur Bat Achat? So therefore we got a problem because Malika is only possible to be an Isur Bat Achat. How would you find a case of Isur Kolel? I mean, basically, the moment that the Kohen makes this thing a nevela, at that point, it becomes usher. Because up until the moment of Malika, there's not an iser for a zar to be oichel. Remember, there's only an iser for a zar to eat that which is roi to the Kohenim. Before we did the Malika, there was no iser to Kohenim. The moment that we do the Malika, there's an iser to Kohenim and to Zarim. So what would be the possibility, there would be an Isra of Nevela and an Isra of Achila because it was Royal Kohanim. So how would there be first one and then the other? This doesn't make any sense. What you should have said, maybe, is that they were arguing in Bat Achat about whether Rabbi Yossi is Moda that in a Bat Achat, but it's difficult to believe if we know that Rabbi Yossi agrees that even Isra Karl and Isra Maisiv, or certainly Isra Maisiv, that Isser Chalal Isser, how would they be disagreeing with Vat Achat? Everybody should agree to Vat Achat if you're even going to say a migu that it's at separate times. Therefore, says the Gemara, okay, I changed my mind. You know what? You're right. Why don't we say it differently? Ela kamifak yivisir Vat Achat. Maybe they're arguing about Vat Achat, not about Kolel. And Rabbi Chia holds that Rabbi Yossi holds in all three cases, it's talking about Bat Achat. We'll have to explain how that's possible. And you're chayev too. But Rabbi Yossi never said that Be'yisr Ba'yisr, you'll be chayev too. And Bar Kapora, Savar Loma Chayev El Chodah. So can you explain to me how it gets to be Bat Achat? Where is it Bat Achat in the case of the Tzar, Shishimesh B'Shabbos? I think he was always a Tzar before Shabbos, don't you? So how in the world could it be Bat Achat? I mean, well, was he born just as Shabbos came? I mean, like, what's going on? Ah, says the Gemara, I'll tell you what happens. It's like this. My Yisr Bat Achat Ikaracha. And what we're talking about, therefore, would have to be that the Zar, Shishimesh B'Shabbat, is that he wasn't yet bar mitzvah. So here he is in the middle of Shabbos, and anxiously looking for pubic hairs because he wants to be a bar mitzvah already. And what do you know? Pow! All of a sudden, right smack bang in the middle of Shabbos. Whoopee! Can you imagine the situation? I'm a gadol. Hey, daddy, guess what? Oh my gosh, now you've got two isurim bevat achat. You better watch out because you're a czar and it's Shabbos. Oh gosh, what does that mean? It means you can't do the avodah in the Beis HaMikdash on Shabbos. So now if he does, he is going to be chayev two separate Yisurim, because they both happened, Bevat Achat. A little bit of a strange case, admittedly, but at least we can work it out that it's possible. So that would have to be the case. And now Zarut and Shabbat Bahari Adani. The Baal Mum case would also be, same thing, he's a Baal Mum. All of a sudden, he becomes Bar Mitzvah on Shabbos, and now, Itmele, in which case is he became basically a Baal Mum, might have been before, and became Tomei, now he becomes Chayim in both of them. It doesn't mean afterwards it'd be like Davili Baal Mum Vatuma Ba'adi Adad. Or I can even think of a more reasonable situation, which would be that he cuts himself with a sakin that is Tomei. So therefore the Tuma and the Mum come simultaneously. Now, this is a little bit of a problem that the Rishonim talk about. I mean, the moment that the sakin touches him, he becomes tamei, and it takes a split second till it cuts him, doesn't it? Till he becomes a baal mum. So some of the Rishonim say it's talking about that he had just cut through the upper dermis, and it wouldn't have been, you get the picture, it wouldn't have been a mum until that last second. And then the sakin tamei hits him. A little bit of a problem. Other Rishonim say that since it's all one act, it's considered to be, if it's betoch kidei dibor, and there's many shitas of the Rishonim like that, that toch kidei dibor is not only a shir in dibor, but toch kidei dibor is a shir in the extended present, and it defines how it is that the mind works. So that therefore, in terms of the halacha, Tochkei Dibur defines simultaneity. So because of that, it's all considered to be one action, and he becomes tamei and cuts himself at the same time. Whatever. Okay, this is all very curious. We don't really have to go into all of these things, because in the end, we're not going to be sticking with this approach anyways, as Tosfos points out. We could have a lot of questions we could have asked, but in the end, we're going to try other approaches here. Okay, so we end up with possibility that he is actually all going to happen at one time. So now we've explained how the first two cases happened at one time. We know that the third case always happens at one time. The Malika, that was our problem. That's what pushed us into the one-time thing, right? Okay, so that's one possibility. Now let's move on to a little bit of a problem with this possibility, and that is as follows. We also have to explain how it is that Rabbi Chiya understands Bar Kappara, and how it is that Bar Kappara understands Rabbi Chiya, and how it could be that two intelligent people would end up swearing to the opposite. So there's got to be an understandable misunderstanding, right? Again, I can't just think people are crazy. So let's try to figure out what the understandable misunderstanding is. So it says to Gemara like this. Look, I can understand. So Bishlam al Rabbi Chiya. Rabbi Chiya basically ki atnayo ledidei aliba de Rabbi Yosi. Rabbi was talking to Rabbi Chiya about what the Shita is according to Rabbi Yosi. So he was saying, according to Rabbi Yosi, you'd be chayev too. And so, in fact, when he gets up and swears, I'm telling you, he definitely told me too. Fine. And when he went ahead and he taught Bar Kappara that you're only chayev on one, makes perfectly good sense, because he was talking about Rabbi Shimon. So therefore, the idea is, according to Rabbi Chiya, that Rabbi Shimon doesn't even agree on Bat Achat. So Rabbi Chiya can understand where it was that Bar Kappara came from. So really, Rabbi said both of these things, according to Rabbi Chiya. And Rabbi Chiya makes perfectly good sense out of them. He says, well, to me, Rabbi was talking about Rabbi Yosi, and I explained the halacha aliba de Rabbi Yosi. Bar Kappara seems to have made a mistake, and I'm okay. His mistake was that he didn't realize that Rabbi had talked about Rabbi Shimon, and that our entire argument was about Rabbi Yosi. Okay, so it makes sense to me. But what in the world does Bar Kappara think? I mean, what could Bar Kappara possibly say to himself other than Rabbi Chiya is either nuts or a liar? He certainly wouldn't have thought that. So what did he think? Because according to Bar Kappara, if Rabbi was telling me that Aliba Rabbi Yosi, in other words, that even Rabbi Yosi basically does not hold of Isser Chal al Isser, even in a Bat Achat, so then where would Rabbi have ever told, according to Bar Kappara, where would Rabbi have ever possibly told Rabbi Chiya that you're Chayev too? Even according to Rabbi Yosi, you're not Chayev too. Koshik, and according to Rabbi Shimon, you're not Chayev too. So what in the world did Bar Kappara think had happened? So something is strange over here. And that means that the way that we just explained it, which is that according to Bar Kappara, even Aliba de Rabbi Yosi, you would only be Chayev one, is impossible, because it leaves no room for an explanation of an understandable misunderstanding. So we've got to come up with a different explanation. Okay. Says he, well, all right, forget it. They weren't arguing about Rabbi Yosi. They were arguing on the opposite. They were arguing according to Rabbi Shimon. That's what happened. And the question was, we still stand by the Bat Achat, strange cases. So it's talking about the Bat Achat, and they were arguing Aliba de Rabbi Shimon and not Aliba de Rabbi Yosi, which makes things a lot easier, because after all, Rabbi Yosi is the one who was more open about the Isser Chal al Isser. So according to Rabbi Chiya, even Rabbi Shimon, who generally disagrees with Isser Chal al Isser, and he says, forget about Isser Chal, forget about Isser Moshe, but when it comes to Bevat Achat, says Rabbi Chiya, even Rabbi Shimon is made a Bevat Achat. Fine. So, and that makes sense, because I mean, how can you block one Isser with another Isser and not block simultaneously both Isser? I mean, it makes no sense. There's no way to say that ain't Isser Chal al Isser if neither of them was Chal first. So therefore, Bevat Achat would explain even why Rabbi Shimon would hold, Yisrachal Alisser. It's only Bar Kapora who was saying that Bevat Achat, but of course only Alibi the Rabbi Shimon, not Alibi the Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi, he holds even Yisr Baisiv. But according to Rabbi Shimon, even Bevat Achat, there's no such thing as having two separate Yisr. Okay. So now, I still have a problem. So let's understand. According to Rabbi Chiya, I first want to know why this extreme reaction, jumping up and swearing. I mean, what are you going to swear for? Talk calmly. I mean, I understand that here it's not the kind of swearing you might think is inappropriate, but any kind of swearing is inappropriate. I mean, you could just have a discussion, can't you? I mean, it must have been that there was something so outrageous about what he was saying that he couldn't just say it. He had to say, listen, gentlemen, I swear I heard this from Rebbe. You may think it sounds crazy. Okay, so what was so crazy about it? So according to Rebbe Chiya, the reason he had to say this is because everybody knows how Rebbe Shimon has rejected every case of Isser Chal al Isser, even when it was an Isser Kailal, even when it's an Isser Maisif, and now you're coming to him. But I'm telling you, Rebbe Shimon agrees that when it comes to Vas Achas, I know you never heard this before, but I heard this from Rebbe. Rebbe Shimon holds that Isser Chal al Isser. Okay. Well, I mean, what was Bar Kapara jumping up and swearing about? I mean, to say that I disagree, he doesn't need to swear, does he? So why did he need to swear about it? Because basically, he's just simply maintaining Rabbi Shimon's standard rejection of Ein Isser Chal al Isser. And he's saying, listen, excuse me, sir, but it's well known that Ein Isser Chal al Isser. I mean, you can discuss it calmly and so on. I mean, you don't have to go wild. So what is it that he was jumping up about? Okay, I don't know. That's a problem. Okay, now let me get to a bigger problem. And that's the problem that we had before. Understandable misunderstandings. What's the understandable misunderstanding? Now, to Bar Kapara, I can understand how Rebbe might have said two opposite statements. And both of them would have been made by Rebbe. Why? Because when Rebbe was teaching Bar Kapara that there's only one Yitzhar, he was saying it Aliba to Rebbe Shimon. And he, Bar Kapara, says, you, Rebbe Chiya, you think that Rebbe was telling you two Isurim according to Rebbe Shimon? He was talking about Aliba to Rebbe Yossi, not Aliba to Rebbe Shimon. So yeah, of course Rebbe said that to you. You're the one who misunderstands what context he said it in. Just because we were discussing at the time that he said it, the question Aliba to Rebbe Shimon, you thought the Rebbe was referring to Rebbe Shimon, he was not. Okay, in this new approach, how does Rebbe Chiya explain Bar Kapara other than saying he's insane or he's a liar? Because, I mean, according to what it was that Bar Kapara was saying, Rebbe Chiya has no explanation. Because even, according to Rebbe Chiya, even Rebbe Shimon, he holds that if it is Bevat Achat, then you would be Chayev too. So then there's nobody who could possibly have said one. According to Rebbe Chiya, there is someone who could have said two. But according to Bar Kapara, there's someone that could have said two. But according to Rebbe Chiya, there's nobody who could have said one, because he was saying Rebbe Shimon is saying one. So who in the world is saying two? So who in the world is the one that's saying one? Nobody. So therefore, Bar Kapara is lying? I mean, this doesn't make sense. Rebbe Chiya has an explanation. Would you like to understand? It's a bit sophisticated, says Rebbe Chiya, but I can explain to you how my dear colleague made a long series of wrong assumptions which messed him up. And I can trace back his thinking on this matter and explain to you why he made this mistake. Now, here's what happened. Okay. And this is like a theory of mine that I have about Bar Kapara. So let me just tell you how I think this happened. All right. Now, what happened is that Rebbe was teaching Bar Kapara, and he was talking only about two of the three cases. He didn't tell him all three cases. Okay. So he was telling Ki Atne Rebbe Lididei. He was telling him two of the three cases. Because remember, we ended up having the question about whether the cases are Isser Kolel cases or whether they're Isser Bevat Achat cases. The third case, and only the third case, about Malik, and this is why I told you to concentrate on this and realize that there's one case that forces you into a position of Bata Achaz, right? Now, if you would have heard from Rebbe only about the two cases of the Zar and the Balmum, right? The Zar happens on Shabbos and the Balmum becomes Tameh. Okay. You know that there exists three cases, but Rebbe didn't talk to you about three cases. Rebbe talked to you about two cases. And he said to you, look, in these cases, there's only one chiyev, right? Okay, so now you say to that, so, wow, so apparently, Rebbe Shimon says, even in these cases, there's only one. Now, Rebbe Chiyev says to himself, wait a minute, but there's this other case of the Malika, right? Now, that Malika case sounds exactly the same as this case. The guy is a czar. He's going to be eating something that became normally osur, but became mutter l'kohanim, but it was only mutter l'kohanim, and not to the czar, which is basically the same pattern that we had in the first two cases, right? So subconsciously, Rabbi Chiya sticks in his mind the original set of three cases, says Rabbi Chiya. This is what happened. His mind had created previously the set of three cases of cases where people were doing something in Kodesh or eating something of Kodesh, in which for a Kohen it would have been okay, and for the Tzar it wasn't okay, but under the circumstances it became okay for the Kohanim. Ah, case number three, Malika. Ha, huh, perfect. Now, having created that set in his mind, his brain became stuck in that set. Because Chazal bar Kapor Lazar Sha'achal Malika, Bar Kapor saw that third case, and he said, well, that's part of the set. So I did the damile arve behadayu. His brain automatically classified that into the set of things that are isurim on one person, but mutter for others in the Beis HaMikdash. Classic. Wow, Malika, there we go. I know exactly where that fits. Problem is that when you look more closely, you recognize, wait a minute, it doesn't quite fit. I mean, it fits on the surface, but when you start thinking about what the details of the cases are, you recognize that the norm of the first two cases is not about some 13-year-old waiting for pubic hairs. I mean, that's a little bit silly. The norm is exactly the cases that we spoke about before, that it's an Isser Kolel. Normal case. A regular person that comes Shabbat, and now that's Isser Kolel. So, and that other case, that third case of Malika, well, that's got to be a case of only Bevat Achat. But because Bar Kapora had made the mistake, so the only commonality between the three cases, once his brain had registered that they must all be the same set, the only commonality was Bevat Achat. He didn't realize that Rebbe was teaching him about an Isser Kolel. And that's why Rebbe had left out Malika. Ha-ha! So, if you want a theory of mind, this is a theory of mind, let me tell you. Absolutely. Classifications, automatic, utilizing those classifications. I see exactly what happened. So then, and this could have been years later, okay, after Bar Kapor already made that basic mistake. Now, it's almost automatic to him that there are three cases, the case of a Balmum, the case of the case of the Tzar, and the case of the Tzar and Malika. Three happy cases that we learned about on Daf Lamed Beis Amud Beis. So, then he starts thinking into it. Va'ayenba. So he's looking into it, Bar Kapor, and saying, okay, what's the underlying issue over here? Well, the only thing that unites these three cases, that's given that they're united, of course, they're all the same. So, the only thing that makes them into one set is the fact that they could only be Bevat Achat. So then, he didn't remember that it was he that made up the idea that the case of Malika was also included. His brain did that for him. Now he is a prisoner of his original classification. Because of that, when he analyzed it, he got stuck and he couldn't get out of the assumption that the issue was Bevat Achat. And that Rebbe was teaching him that a Bevat Achat, in the case of no matter what, it was only Midahai Batachat, Hanami Batachat, and since all of the cases were potter, so the cases of Malika were potter when it was Bevatachat, Hanach Nami Liftor, if it's Bevatachat. But Rebbe never said that the Malika was potter. He was the one that had to assume it. And in fact, Bevat Achat, Rebbe said, was chayev, like me, says Rebbe Chiya. That's what happens when you let your brain do your thinking for you. So like they say, never trust anything that thinks, well, you don't know where it puts its brain. And therefore, Rebbe Bar Kappara made a mistake. Okay, so now we at least understand what is going on. Now the question is Bar Kappara possibly right about the Bat Achat? No. I'll prove it to you. Meitveh. Zar, take a look at this price. Zar sheshimesh b'shabbat u'ba'amum sheshimesh b'tum'ah. Note, two out of the three cases. No case about malika l'chaim, l'chaim, rabbanei, l'chaim, it's a Shabbos special l'chaim, of course. No case of malika. Okay. In these cases, we have two chiyuvim. The first case, there's zarus and Shabbat. The second case, there's Baal Mum and Tum'ah. So says Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Shimon says, nope. Ein kan ela mishum zarut u'Baal Mum bilvad. And there is no additional iser of the kolel. So he was first a zar. That's what he is chayev on. He was first the Baal Mum. That's what he's chayev on. And then later on, he became tamei. Not chayev. It became Shabbat. Not chayev. Okay, great. Now note that the Tana, this Braita, carefully leaves out the case of Malika. Now ask yourself, why did he leave out the case of Malika? I mean, according to which Shita? Would it be according to Rabbi Yossi? Are you crazy? If Rabbi Yossi is ready to say that Isser's Chalal Isser, even when it doesn't happen simultaneously, and it's good enough for there to be a Migo, either of Kolel or of Mosif, good enough for there to be, well, since it's Chal here, I mean, for sure, if it's Chal simultaneously, where it's difficult to understand how Ein Isser Chal Al Isser when it's simultaneous. Baruch Avram, I can't believe it's such an exciting the moment you're starting to fall asleep. You're thinking deeply. I gotcha. That's the Barnea tactic. Very dangerous, very dangerous. So in that case, so it couldn't be for Rabbi Yossi, because if Rabbi Yossi is even Be'isser Koilel, he's going to say that you could be Chayef twice. Would I really need to know that Be'isser Bat Achat, me boy? I mean, it can't be that I'm not going to say the case of Malika because I disagree about Bat Achat. Of course not. So it must be that we had to leave it out because in that case, Rabbi Shimon would not have been able to argue and say, no, 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 there's only one Isser. He would never have said that. Why? Because of the case of Malika has got to be that it happened simultaneously, and Rabbi Shimon agrees that when it happened simultaneously, there are two Isurim. Bar Kappara, Bar Kappara, didn't you say that according to Rabbi Shimon, if it's Bevat Achat, there's only one Isur? And you even jumped up and swore that Rabbi told you there's only one Isur? What are you going to say now? I'm going to say it's over. Tiyufta the Bar Kappara, Tiyufta. Now, this is the end of Bar Kappara's stance in this issue. Okay, so now we're coming out that Aliba, the Rabbi Yossi, we certainly know Bevat Achat. We also are ready to accept that Isser is Chal Al Isser in the case of Isser Mosif. And we've got this problem about Isser Kolo. We don't really know. And Rabbi Abbo said, no, it's only an Isser Mosif that he would take that stand. Now, looking into the cases a little bit more carefully, the case of the Zar Sheshimesh B'Shabbat in the Braita that we just mentioned. So in the case of the Zar Sheshimesh B'Shabbat, I'm just curious, like, what did he do that the Braita should say that there's two Isurim? I mean, what exactly are the two Isurim? Yeshkan, Mishum, Zarut, or Mishum, Shabbat. What did he do exactly? I mean, how do you do something? I mean, did he do Shechita? It can't be he do Shechita, because there's no Isur of a Zar doing Shechita. So how could there be? The Kohen only does Shechita. The Kohen only does an Aveda for a Kohuna after the Shechita. So mi kabola ve'elach, it's the kabola's Adam that starts the avodas hakayanim. So why would I be mechayev him for doing shchita? That's ridiculous. He's allowed to do shchita. That's not the case. Did he do the Kabbalah Saddam? What's wrong with doing the Kabbalah Saddam on Shabbos for heaven's sakes? What's mukta? I mean, I feel like, I don't know. What did you do? And holoch, what, he walked with it? I mean, at the most, it's a mukta problem, you know. All he's doing is walking. Did he put it on the Mizbeach? Now he burned it? Oh, that would be interesting. There's only one minor problem. Guess who the author of the Shita that you're not chayev a chatas or chorus on burning things on Shabbos? Rabbi Yossi, just by coincidence, right? So if Rabbi Yossi is the one who says that the reason that the Torah mentions Beferish lo tevaru esh b'chol moshvotechem, even though it says lo taseh kol malacha, is to teach me that lo tevaru esh is not an iser chatas, is not an iser chorus, so then that can't be what he did. And we seem to be counting the chataot over here. So what did he do? Havaral alav yatzas. Omer v'achav bar Yaakov, I have an idea. It's talking about, when it said Shabbat, it didn't mean Shabbat. It meant Shabbat, Shabbaton ilachem. It meant Yom Kippur. And it's talking about that he shechted the par of the Kohen Gadol. And it's going like the Amar who holds that if the par of a Kohen Gadol is shechted by a Zar, then it's possible. So even though normally Shechita can be done by anybody, we don't need a Kohen, not on the par of the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur. That requires only the Kohen Gadol, which is what we, the assumption that we made when we were learning Yuma. So that would explain. So what do you mean? So then why does it say Zar? Why would it say Zar? I mean, even if he's a Kohen, it would be exactly the same thing. If the only one that's allowed to do it is the Kohen Gadol, why did it have to say a Zar? A filo Kohen had Yod Nami. That's what Zar means. Zar means someone who is an alien to this Aveda. So it means someone besides the Kohen Gadol. That's what it means. Matki Floravashi, hey, you know, everybody's out of line, totally out of line. None of this makes any sense, everything you guys are saying. Show me where in that braita it talks about an Isser Karet. Show me where in that braita talks about an Isser Chatas. It says, Yeshba Mishum Zarut Umishum Shabbat. That's what it says. Now, what does Mishum make you say? That's got to mean that you're Chayav Chatas and it can't be going like Rabbi Yossi who holds it's only an Isser Lava. Who says? Where did it say anything? Excuse me. Mide chataot katani? You see anything about a list of chataot? Does it even say how many lavin you were over? And if you were just carrying the dam, maybe that's what it's referring to? You say, but you're not doing anything wrong. That's not a lav. Maybe it's only milk. So? Maybe that's all the Bryce is talking about. So you'll say, so then who cares? The old standby. The funeral parlor. That's who cares. So the question is, where do we bury the guy? That's all. All we're doing is we're looking at the Isurim. How many Isurim did you do? And therefore, it could be talking about the regular case. So who cares how many Isurim he did? Ah, who cares? L'kovro ben Rishayim Gemurim? That was the question that we said before. You've got to select the right plot. That's what it's all about. So, good. That was fun. And we're going to, I hope, some people are smiling. Okay, now really, we had a great time. So we've gone through now the question of the chalos of Yisurin, which often happens in the context of Yevoma. Now, I need to point out to you why this is specifically important in the context of Yevoma. Because the question of Isur Chalal Isur relates back to the conversation that we had, I'll leave it to Beit Shammai, we were talking, but it doesn't mean it only works out according to Beit Shammai, that in a case where there is no Isser of Eishes Ach, you remember the shocking fact that according to him, if she's not Asura Mishum Eishes Ach, it's because of Isser Chalal Isser, then there's no Chiyav of Yibam. It's not your brother's wife that you have to do Yibam to, it's the erva called achot, eshet achiv, that you have to do yibum to. So therefore, it's extremely important here in the context. And even though we had this conversation, of course, in the Gemara, we ignored that. But as Tosis points out, that's only because this sugya was not buying into that idea that we had earlier. In reality, the description of the interrelationship between the iser erva, qua iser erva, yes, when it comes to that, absolutely. So that according to this approach, we need to know when we're coming to discuss the Chiyuv of Yibam, is there the Isser of Eshet Ach or not? Because where we've got these problems of Arayot, so what happens if one was Chal before the other and you don't hold of Isser Chal al Isser? And then the question would be, is there a Chiyuv Yibam or not? Oh, we talked about that monstrous oscillation in which the Isser remains poised to be Chal. But there's other issues that are involved also. Forget about that. Forget about the question of whether something which is a potential. Remember, that's the only way we answered it. Why don't we go ahead and do Yibum anyway? Well, because the moment that we would, so then there wouldn't be an Isser. Because then we took off the Isser of Eshet Ach, and then there wouldn't be a Chiyuv, because then she would become your wife's sister. Remember? But there was another answer to that. The other answer was, forget about oscillations. There is no Chiyuv of Yibum because of the fact that she's not Asura as the Eshet Achiv. Now that is very important. Therefore, this is precisely the place where we need to define the variations of Isser Chal al Isser, which could create tremendous nafkaminas in terms specifically of the Dinim of Yibum. Furthermore, there's other issues that are Yibum oriented, such as possible pregnancies. If a woman turns out to be pregnant after she was given chalitza, what happens then? Well, interestingly enough, that is the opening of the next perek. What happens? Now, that means we're going to introduce that. And guess how we're going to introduce it? Well, we're going to introduce it with the question of possible pregnancies when little mistakes have happened. So let's talk about the mistake in this Mishnah after introduction by our famous Kapitan, who always reads his sonar correctly. Now, there have been times when the propeller was damaged by not reading the sonar correctly. However, that was not done by Richie. It was done by members of the family, and I will not mention any names.
Okay. Rabbi, the issue Rabbi raised would relate also to why we had essay Dochelos to say in all those balances in the early part of the
No, season. That's for sure. That we explained at the time. There, it's obvious. I mean, that's the whole issue. It's that this is Bevat Achas, right? This is Zohar V'Shomar. This is the other one of the Zohar V'Shomar issues. So, Shnayim Shekitcher Shtei Nashim. So here's a cute situation. Two guys, we had a situation before, we had two brothers, and they married two sisters, and we didn't know which one married which sister, or two guys that married two sisters. Well, here it gets worse than that. We had two guys that married two unrelated women, and guess what? When they came to the chuppah, they switched wives. Uh-oh. That's not a good situation. So then it turns out that each one is sleeping with the other guy's wife. So now they are chayev because of an eshes ish. But suppose they were also brothers. Oh, so now we get into the issue of vas achas or eshes ish and eshes ach. So ima yuachim, they would also be chayev because of eshet ach. Now, how about if the women were also sisters? Then it really gets interesting. So then they would be chayev mishum isha al achota as well. This really gets interesting. And we can even add nidais. Suppose both of these women were nidais. So then we'd have to bring another carbon because of nidais. Now, the question is, did each one impregnate the other guy's wife? Why is this important? Well, because there's a chiyuv to be mavda between Zera Kosher and Zera Apostle. So we need to know, in the event that there's a pregnancy, who is the father. So because of that, we keep these women away from their husbands for 3 months, because we're only going to be able to be certain about the pregnancy after those 3 months. So Shema Mu'ubarotain. But if they were so young that they're not yet ready to have children, then we let them go back to their husbands right away. The problem is that if they were kohanot, then we have a real issue, because then it should say nifsilu min hakuhuna. They're not allowed to be put back with their husbands again, because a kohen is usher on a woman that slept with somebody else, his wife that slept with somebody else. What do you mean? They switched wives? What are we talking about? The West Side? Yichlifu? What are you, crazy? Who switches wives? What, Midi Bereshi asking on? Or we're talking about Rishayim? The two. And then, I mean, it says over there, Rabbi Chiya lists all of the chatos that you're chayiv. Harekan sheish esrei chataot. This Mishnah has given us a total of 16 chatot to be brought in the Beis HaMikdash. Eshes ish, eshes ach, achot isha, and nida, times four, because there were four participants in this happy party. But if we're talking about mezid, then there's no chataot. So what do you mean that there's 16 chataot? Says Rav Yehuda, we have to change the Mishnah. It doesn't mean hichlifu chas v'chalila. It means huchlefu. They were switched. Hokinami mistavra, and that's very logical. I mean, this is what happens when you give over the wedding to one of these wedding experts. What do they call them? I forgot what they call them. But there's a whole profession about this. This one wasn't all that professional, and having brought out the wrong bride to the wrong groom, you can just imagine this happening today. I mean, it's very easy. I mean, of course, everything goes according to the schedule and the identification. What's it called? What's that person called? Come on, guys.
Wedding planner.
Who?
Wedding planner.
The wedding planner, of course. So now it's time for pictures. Now it's time to bring the bride. Which bride? I'll take care of that. Okay. So this could happen anytime, right? All right, so it's Huchlefu. And Okinami Mistavra, it's only reasonable that that's the case, because if you take a look at the end of the Mishnah, what does it say? If they were Kitanot that are not really ready for pregnancy, then we give them back to their husbands. We don't separate them for 3 months to worry about pregnancy. But we wouldn't be allowed to give them back, because if this was done on purpose, so then how could we give them back? Well, that's no problem. Because if you seduce a ktana, which is what happened over here, I mean, it doesn't matter that she wanted to be switched, if you insist that we're talking about switch, but that would be pitui, so that's seduction. And a ktana is not considered to be really capable of choice, and because of that, we view it as an onus. So seduction is an onus. And an onus, since we're not talking about kohenim, an onus for non-kohen is mutar, to go back to the husband. All right, fine. So read the continuation. Mafritinotan shlosha chodashim shema mu'ubarot. Okay, what does that mean? It means if it turns out that they're not pregnant. It says only for 3 months we keep them from their husband. If they're not pregnant, then they go back to their husbands. But if we're talking about bemezid, how could they go back with their husbands? So it must be that the only way to read the Mishnah is not hichlifu, but huchlefu. They were switched by the wedding planner. And that concludes the exciting episode of tonight. And we'll talk about how they all get all of these chatos together and so on tomorrow. And I wish you, meanwhile, a Shavua Tov, Hinei El Yeshua Si, Eftach, V'lo Efchad. And hopefully we'll be zochet to learn in the morning and keep on going. Laila Tov, everybody. See you, Be'ezrat Hashem.